Well, this is good stuff. Iranian spies, Saudi diplomats, Mexican drug cartel hired assassins, $1.5 million payoff in cash.
Today, the Department of Justice is announcing charges against two people who allegedly attempted to carry out a deadly plot that was directed by factions of the Iranian government to assassinate a foreign ambassador here in the United States.
Attorney General Eric Holder at a news conference yesterday. It is this factions of the Iranian government phrase that's rocking the world a little bit this morning. Joining us to run down some of the more eye-popping details of this plot that was revealed yesterday, alleged plot revealed yesterday, is David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner at the New York Times. You can download his weekly Washington report by visiting the takeaway.org. Good morning, David.
Morning.
So, David, I've decided to leave all of the amazing details here to you. Let's talk first about the suspects that Holder says are in custody.
Well, only one's in custody, John. The other one, he said, was on the run someplace and presumably in Iran. I have a funny feeling he may not be visiting the United States anytime soon.
So he's on a no-fly list at the very least. All right, so describe the mechanics of this plot, because it seems as though the Saudis were the target. And remind us that the Saudi ambassador to the United States is actually a very high position in the Saudi government, sometimes called the number three.
Well, that's right. The Saudi ambassador in this case is somebody who is very close to, obviously, to the ruling family. And because the relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia is so important and so close, it only goes to somebody who is very trusted with the family business. It's not clear that the Saudis really even knew that this was going on until probably a few weeks ago when the National Security Advisor to the U.S. visited Saudi Arabia and presumably told the king during his meeting about this discovery. The plot itself sounds a little bit, you know, B-movie clumsy. You know, an Iranian American who travels between Texas and Mexico tries to hire a Mexican drug cartel hitman, telling him that his cousin is senior in the Quds Force, which is the most elite portion of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and it's the one that does their sort of out of Iran work, whether it's assassinations or blowing things up or whatever. He says that he'll pay $1.5 million. Unfortunately, it seems as if the one that he chose or the one he ended up with was somebody who had been previously arrested in the United States and ended up working for the Drug Enforcement Agency. And during many of these conversations, just based on seeing the excerpts from transcripts here, appears to have been wearing a wire. It was a really bad choice of hitman.
So the B-movie part is he actually recruited someone who was already an informant. It wasn't someone who was turned in the middle of the operation necessarily.
That's what it looks like.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner in the New York Times. Let's go on to the Iranian side. What is the chance that within the Pasdaran or the Revolutionary Guard, as you described it, even within this Al-Quds faction, there could be some sort of rogue operation going on that wouldn't have explicit sanction of the Iranian government, but still would be connected to Tehran?
Very possible. The Quds Force tends to be a pretty disciplined group, John, so the idea of a rogue operation is a little bit hard for us to bend our heads around. But at the same time, nobody expected anything like this to happen. If you could ask people, you know, a day ago, what kinds of activities would you expect out of the Quds Force, you could imagine actions against Israel, actions in Syria, actions in Lebanon, actions against the Saudis or American interests someplace in the Middle East, but a terror act in the United States that even got a little more bizarre than this, because if you believe what's in the indictment, in the complaint, the assignment was to kill the ambassador in a restaurant, presumably a restaurant in Washington, because they said at one point there could be senators sitting around. So I'm imagining one of those fairly tony places that's, you know, beyond our usual expense accounts that are out near the Capitol. And the complaint says that in the course of the conversation, they said it would be nice if you can get the ambassador alone and just kill him, but if you need to blow up the restaurant and take out the diner, centers, that's fine, too.
Wow.
We're speaking with David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. You know, David, there's a lot of experts now saying that the U.S. hopes to use this diplomatically to isolate Iran or justify more sanctions against Iran. And I'm wondering what country is going to be swayed by these allegations? Who's going to say, well, that crosses over the line, now I'll support sanctions?
It's hard for me to imagine that, first of all, that there are many sanctions we haven't already done. Remember, because of the nuclear program, the United Nations has already gone through four rounds of sanctions over the past 5 or 6 years. And while there's an additional set that the Department of the Treasury announced yesterday, right after this indictment, they were against individuals within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. So that doesn't account to much. There's only one sanction, Celeste, that would catch the attention of the Iranians, and it's the one the West has never been willing to go do, and that is to cut off oil shipments out,
right,
refined gasoline going in.
To stop buying Iranian products.
Right.
Right.
And that's, of course, the major source of revenue for the country. And frankly, if countries aren't going to go along with that because of suspicions that Iran is trying to build a nuclear weapon, it doesn't seem to me that they're going to go along with that because of a clumsy and ultimately failed plot to assassinate the Saudi ambassador.
We should note that the Iranian government is officially denying that they had any connection to this, and they're denying that the plot is even valid in any sense in response to Eric Holder's news conference yesterday. Before we go, David Sanger, we can conclude then that any thaw that might have been likely from the release of those hikers less than a month ago is completely over with?
You can, but, you know, this gets to another of the points on the factions, John, which is it's very possible that President Ahmadinejad, who helped put press for that, and those other parts of the Iranian government that were working toward the thaw, and you may remember that when Ahmadinejad was in New York, he made a nuclear offer that not many people think amounts to much, but at least it was an offer,
right.
That side may be working toward a thaw, while the Quds Force and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is allied a little more closely to the Supreme Leader, may actually be working in the other direction.
Divisions become factions within the Iranian government, become a plot, an alleged plot, announced yesterday in the United States. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Get his Washington report by visiting thetakeaway.org. Thanks, David.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.